Great, thank you. So I am switching gears a little bit. We've heard some great presentations on trauma. This presentation focuses on stroke. Just curious, anyone work with stroke in the room? Good, a couple of people, great. So thank you for your attendance here. I think this is a really great session, and it's a privilege to be here for me. I'm speaking on emergency medical services utilization and stroke treatment. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Elisa Kamigaki and Janet Bates. We are with the California Stroke Registry, which is in the California Department of Public Health. And I would like you to know that I have no personal financial relationships of any kind to disclose. I'm going to give you a little bit of background and then tell you a little bit more about the Stroke Registry before I get into the study results. So the need to call 911 and utilize EMS in the event of an acute stroke has been well communicated. However, many individuals utilize other means of transport, including the use of private vehicles. And studies range 50 to 60% of patients with stroke coming in via other means other than EMS. So we were curious to know, how do those patients fare, those coming in via other means relative to those coming in via EMS in terms of their treatment? So we looked at hospitalization data from the California Stroke Registry, and we examined the treatment of stroke patients by EMS use. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about the California Stroke Registry, which is the source of these data. The registry has been in place since late 2007, and it's been part of the CDC's Paul Coverdell National Acute Stroke Program since 2012. We are at present one of California's, we are at present one of nine federally funded state stroke registries. And we've had federal funding since 2012. The first grant was a three-year grant. And we just, as of July 1, 2015, started our next wave. The California Stroke Registry is a data-driven quality improvement program related to the care of acute stroke. It is administratively located within the State Health Department, and we are based in Sacramento. And we run this program in partnership with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and it is a true, very beneficial partnership. We have great support both from the national office as well as from our California offices. And the registry fosters and utilizes partnerships with voluntary clinical providers working across the care continuum. And I want to emphasize that these are voluntary partners with us. There is no state mandate. There is no state funding. The hospitals and the EMS agencies which participate with us do so voluntarily. And so you may rightly recognize that there could be some impact of that, as maybe the more sophisticated providers are those that are better equipped to partner with us. And so maybe we're not capturing a true picture of what's going on in California. But again, no state mandate, no funding. We take what we can get. Currently, in this grant cycle, we are working in six goal areas. The first is we are developing and maintaining partnerships to expand the effort's expertise and capacity. We have been a relatively small program. We are working to expand that by branching out with new partners and looking to add expertise and capacity to our efforts to improve quality of care for stroke and to ultimately reduce the stroke burden. We are working to establish an integrated data system to capture patient-level encounter data. And this is a key point because these data exist, but they're not all in the same place. So we want to work to integrate those data so we can get a picture from the data of what the care being provided looks like across the care continuum. We're also interested in growing the registry, that is securing additional clinical partners through focused recruitment efforts. And then we're using the data that we collect to evaluate not only the program's performance, but also to inform quality improvement initiatives, which we want to facilitate at the local level, that is at the hospital or EMS provider level. And finally, and this one is relatively new for us, we're working on carrying out stroke messaging for stroke patients and their caregivers, as well as the larger population at risk. And October 29 was World Stroke Day. Did you guys know that? There was a great media blast from CDC, from American Heart, American Stroke. Our department in California did some Facebook and some Twitter, getting the word out about the signs and the symptoms and the need to call 911. Really, the need to call 911 is particularly salient here. As I move into the study methods, we had over 10,000 stroke patients who were stratified into two mode of transport groups, those who were transported via EMS. This is both from the field as well as from a referring hospital, and those patients transported via other means. And this is, use of private vehicle, that sort of thing, walk-ins. We used descriptive statistics to make group comparisons and to compare group-specific treatment intervals of interest. And there were two main treatment intervals of interest, door to CT, which is the calculated time interval from arrival at the hospital to the brain imaging via CT scanner, or door to needle, which is the calculated time interval from arrival at the hospital to IV TPA, that's the thrombolytic therapy. And then we used difference of proportions tests and t-tests to assess the level of statistical significance of the observed differences. Moving now to the results, in our study we found that more than half of the study patients, in this case almost 60%, arrived via EMS. That means 40% did not, and that's a problem. The EMS patients were, relative to those in the non-EMS group, more likely to be female. As you can see, I hope that's large enough for you to see. 52% of the patients coming in via EMS were female versus 48% of the non-EMS patients. They were also, EMS patients that is, were also more likely to be African American. That's 8.5 versus 6.2. They were also about 3 years older, and they had a more severe stroke, more likely to have a more severe stroke. And that's the NIH stroke scale. The way that's interpreted is the higher the number, the more severe the stroke, on a scale up to 42. And you can see that it's 8.1 in the EMS group versus 2.9 in the non-EMS group. And these are the the meat here, the key findings. And I'll go first on the left. This is the door to CT time, again, from arriving at the hospital to having brain imaging. And the brain imaging is critical here because that informs the rest of the treatment. Whether there's a bleed or a blockage, that will differentiate the treatment to come. And there's a threefold difference here between the EMS and the non-EMS group in terms of the proportion of patients who get to the CT scanner in 25 minutes or less. The 25 minutes or less is kind of a standard that we measure. And so again, a threefold difference. So more patients who come in via EMS are meeting that standard than those coming in via other means. And then moving to the vertical bar chart on the right, this is the door to needle time. The standard we measure is about 60 minutes. That's from when you hit the door of the emergency department to when you actually have the thrombolytic therapy administered via IV. And so this is a 5-minute difference. And, 5 minutes might not seem like a lot of time to us right now as we sit here, but time is brain. You've probably heard that. These drugs are approved by the FDA for certain windows of treatment, time windows of treatment. And the sooner that these drugs can be administered, the less likely that there will be that the patient will have poor health outcomes. There will be fewer deficiencies with quicker time to treatment. These differences on both the door to CT as well as the door to needle are statistically significant. So in terms of the conclusions, first, certain population subgroups are underrepresented in the EMS group, namely males, Hispanics, and Asians, and younger stroke patients. Patients arriving via EMS are more likely than those arriving via other means to receive earlier brain imaging and thrombolytic therapy. And the observations on EMS utilization and patient outcomes can inform the development of local, regional, and statewide stroke systems of care to include the preferential transport of stroke patients to designated receiving centers. Also, prudent public health education and stroke messaging should emphasize the critical role of EMS in optimizing stroke care treatment, and also should target individuals who utilize other means of transport, and even if it's a suspected stroke. I've included the American Stroke Association URL for educational resources. And I want to end with the public health implication here. The increased use of EMS for suspected stroke patients should result in more optimal patient care, which in turn should reduce the burden of stroke. And I've included this graphic. This comes from the CDC, and it is based on a Lee Schwamm study from 2005. As you can see here, the pre-event, the event, and the post-event all contribute to the burden of stroke. I've highlighted with a red circle the EMS and acute care. So if we want to improve the care of patients and reduce the burden of stroke, we need to affect change in those two areas there in the event component. And I want to thank you for your time. This is my contact information. Thank you so much.
We have a couple of minutes for questions, if anyone has any questions on this presentation. Yes.
How is the California Stroke Registry different than the American Heart Association's registry?
That's a great question. Everybody heard that? So the American Heart Association Get With The Guidelines for stroke is a quality improvement tool that's utilized at the local hospital to capture data and to look for gaps and to improve the care of their patients locally. The California Stroke Registry actually utilizes data from Get With The Guidelines for the in-hospital component. Now, in California, we have 400 plus hospitals. They don't all use Get With The Guidelines. So we need to broaden our data system to include data coming from non-Get With The Guidelines hospitals. So there is certainly overlap, but our efforts in the in-hospital setting are broader. Furthermore, we are interested in the pre-hospital setting, and there is a component for Get With The Guidelines stroke that's related to the pre-hospital, but we, of course, are interested in looking a little more broadly at the pre-hospital setting. And now in our new grant cycle, there's also a post-hospital transition of care piece, so we're moving beyond that. So the short answer is there's definite overlap, but our programmatic interests are broader than the Get With The Guidelines tool.
So have you noticed that there may be some geographic variability between hospitals and transport systems?
Absolutely. That's a great question. In California, there are 33 local EMS agencies, and they vary greatly in terms of their ability to provide a system of care for stroke. And that includes designating the hospitals to which the patients are transferred. In some cases, there's frontier land, and in some cases, it's dense urban. And so there are problems, there are mountain ranges, there are all sorts of geographic and topographical issues that go into this. And what we find is that the population centers, which are San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County, and greater Sacramento area, those are the areas where there's a better, more sophisticated system of care. Once you get kind of in the Central Valley, the Eastern Sierras, the extreme Northern California, the systems don't exist. And so these people are having, these are the people who are more likely to drive themselves or walk in and less likely to utilize the system. So as we work with the 33 local EMS agencies, we're trying to get everybody to come up. And eventually those local systems of care will reveal the gaps and will work to fill in those gaps across the state, but certainly variation.
Are you able to, from the data that you've got, pass out duration of transport, both EMS and private car?
No, we don't have that. It's just a, it's on the tool that asks, how did you arrive? We did another study recently on drive time using GIS, and what we found, and this we're going to present at the International Stroke Conference next year, but what we found, a little preview, is that the areas of the highest burden, which we described using stroke mortality, the areas of highest burden were also those places where the drive time was much longer.
Yeah, they're using ambulance for that purpose when they're heading into a region like that. In Europe, they're using ambulances fitted with a CT scanner to reach those high density, long distance to minimize time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.